Tim Flannery has joined us on Sports Byline. I mentioned that over a three-year period, the San Francisco Giants won two World Series, one in 2010, the other in 2012. And Tim, let me go back to the 2010. What benefits came out of that experience that helped the team in the 2012 run to the championship?
Well, you know, I think the experience of the playoffs and the experience of going down into the pennant, you know, the 2010, we had to win a lot the last 3 weeks of the season. We had to win the last game of the season just to get in the playoffs, and then we had to make the run then. So that experience helped the young starting pitching staff, the Canes and the Lincecums and the Bumgardners, you know, and the bullpen. That experience in the playoff and the World Series is really amazing, and it's very hard to replicate unless you are there because of the pressure, because of the adrenaline, the emotion. The game can speed up on you. It can get hard to breathe. And you have to learn how to slow the game down. And that experience in 2010 really helped us in 2012 for the players that were there. It's a whole different team. A lot of the same pitching staff, but as far as starters, there was only a couple guys, and Buster Posey was one of them. The rest of the guys were a bunch of new players who'd come and who had careers like Marco Scudero on other teams that never had an opportunity to play on a winning team. He added so much of not only veteran leadership but on how to win. But you also had the bullpen and you had the starting staff this year who got to build on that experience in 2010, and I know it helped us.
And Bruce Bochy, I think, as well as the rest of the coaching staff, did something that I thought was important in 2012, and that is I talked about stability and how important that was. And when you lose a guy out of your bullpen like Wilson, and then you have trauma during the course of the season with the loss of a player suspended for being involved with performance-enhancing drugs, it could have been very unstabilizing. Why did the team stay pretty even-keeled?
Well, you know, Boch is great at that. And, you know, Brian Sabian, that day it happened, had a little meeting with the team. But when all of this was going down, the same time the Dodgers were spending a lot of money and picking everybody they could to strengthen their club. So we were getting hit with it on both sides. Not only our team had a feeling at that moment of maybe having a few holes and some water starting to come in, the team and the teams we were playing were getting better. That club came together. A lot of it had to do with the leadership of Buster Posey, his calmness that he brings to the ballpark every day, but it's also his fierce competitiveness. Our ball club individually probably looked around at other clubs and said, maybe individually we're not as good as that other team, but collectively, together, nobody could beat us. During the season, even with all of the things that you just talked about, we still won 94 games. So this ball club, they were a band of brothers. They were just a bunch of great, hard-playing teammates. It was the best team in my 26 years in the major leagues. It's the best team I'd ever been associated with, and I'm talking about team. I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about strength together as in a circle, strength together as one. It was the most pure moments of the game I've ever got to experience, and as an old coach, it really is refreshing to know that there's still moments when everybody's on the same page. There's no hidden agendas. Because everybody's, you know, guys are arbitration eligible. Guys are free agents. Their agents are in their ears saying, well, you got to do this in order to get a bigger contract. Not many agents are ever saying, hey, just do whatever it takes to be a part of a team. Everybody's being hit from the outside to do what they need personally as an individual to get paid. And Bruce Bochy and our coaching staff and our front office and the people of San Francisco, we keep these guys together. And they fall into and they go, you know what, this does feel good. This does work. This might be the only way you can win. And I think that we've proven that, and they buy into it.
My observation also, Tim, was a lot of people didn't think, even though the Giants got to the World Series, that they'd be able to beat a tough pitching and hitting lineup like the Detroit Tigers. But I felt after the fact that they had gone to the brink against the Cincinnati Reds, the same thing, falling behind 3-1 to the St. Louis Cardinals, that steeled them, that they weren't going to be intimidated by anything. Am I correct in that observation?
Yeah, you know, we caught breaks along the way, and that comes with winning. I mean, the Tigers having that long off time couldn't have helped them. We had to win every night. We had to win every moment, and that was what we were preaching, and that was what we were doing. We were winning every moment. We were winning every inning. We weren't thinking about 2 days from now, one day. We had to, every moment we had to win, or we would have been eliminated. We faced six elimination games. We went to Game 7 in the NLCS, and the momentum just kept rolling, and we just went four and out with Detroit. Momentum plays such a huge part when you get to the back end of not only the season, but when you hit the playoffs in the World Series.
And after the Giants' volatile 2012 postseason, you went back to music and you wrote 21 Days. It's a hard-hitting anthem in a sense, but tell me a little bit what the motivation was. What was the spark that set you off in writing that?
Well, that morning when we were facing our first of six elimination games, we were down 2-0 to the Cincinnati Reds. Boach got the team together and just said, "Hey, I don't need somebody to tell me what the odds are. I know that the odds say and the odds makers say this is impossible because it's never been done. But let me talk to you a little bit about a guy in the Old Testament, because our ball club's a bunch of spiritual guys." He told a story about Gideon, and Gideon in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, is way outnumbered by an enemy army called the Mennonites, and there's a whole story that goes in to where Gideon's army came on with however God, and I don't want to get into it all, I'll let people go read it for themselves. And ended up destroying the Mennonites. And about that time, Hunter Pence jumped up and started pacing back and forth and looking in each other's eyes and almost doing like an Eminem trance when he was rapping, going back and forth, going, "I want to play for you." And it was just the most beautiful moment. And it touched everybody in that place. And 21 days after that happened, we were in a pretty good Halloween parade.
In the couple minutes that we have left, I want to touch on something else that was very touching, at least to me, in the Tim Flannery story. You once said, "My father died with a straitjacket on. It was a violent end, but it was one of the great miracles of my life, being a part of it." Explain that.
Well, you know, the circle of life was something that you don't really think about until a lot of this happens, where you're changing your father's diaper, you're bathing him, he's turned back into a kid again. He thinks he's, when he has Alzheimer's like he had, he thought he was 6, 7, 8 years old again, and then there was no communication at all, and then at the end it got real violent. You know, I'm not saying, I couldn't tell you that's the way I felt right after it happened, and probably for 5 or 6 or 7 years after that. But I gained great strength from it, because I know now that I'm that guy, I'm that man, I'm that dad, I'm that father. I have children that now look at me that way, so it's my time now to carry it. And a lot of the music came out of it. A lot of weird spiritual things came out of it musically, where songs would come from, where they ended up going, where they ended up taking me. It was an amazing time. I miss him a lot, but I also get strength from him every day.
Yeah, you once said, "When I was caretaking for my father, music was another way I connected with him." And at the start of every game, Tim, you seem to repeat the same lyric to yourself as you settle into the third base box. What is that lyric?
Well, you know, there's a great songwriter in Canada, and he has a line that says, "When you know even for a moment that it's your time, you can walk with the power of 1,000 generations." And when I was in Ireland, I had a record release over there. I felt that. I was hearing stories where the Spanish came in here, and the French came in here, and the English came in here, and our ancestors were destroyed here. And then you talk about immigration. You talk about all who we are, what we're made up of, our DNA, what's inside of us. And when I hit third base, I thank all my coaches, especially my third base coaches, the Joey Amafitanos, the Jimmy Davenports, the Jimmy Williams, the John Vukoviches, all the guys who taught me how to play, because this has been a part of my life now professionally for over 33 years. So I don't forget all the ones that have given me a story, given me some advice, all the people that I played against, played with, I like to bring them along with me because it is my time to represent them. I'm now coaching third base, representing those people. I owe them something. I have a responsibility to them now to be prepared to stand up and say, this is now my time. You might get empowered by it, but I'll tell you the one thing that we teach in our clubhouse. If you honor the game will honor you. And I think you've seen that in San Francisco in the 7 years that we've been up there with Bruce Bochy.
I want to thank you very much, Tim. Another wonderful, insightful conversation with you. You are welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, my friend.
Ron, thank you so much.
Tim Flannery, third base coach for the world champion San Francisco Giants. We continue on America's Sports Talk Show.